In the following live session recording, Landry Holmes, manager of Lifeway Kids Publishing, Lifeway Christian Resources, shares fun and games for preschoolers. God has created us to play, and the listener will explore fun games that help preschoolers learn biblical truths. Let's join Landry now.
All right, so I'm glad that y'all are here this afternoon, and we're not just going to play the whole time. You're probably disappointed. We will play some. I mean, you do have streamers in your chair. So this is just if you want to have my contact information. So I lead the team at Lifeway that produces curriculum materials for babies through sixth grade. And so that includes Gospel Project for kids, Explore the Bible for kids, Bible Studies for Life for kids, Vacation Bible School. Actually, the team that I lead for Vacation Bible School does it all the way for adults, the student adults, PBS. And then also our discipleship resources and leadership resources like Team Kid, Bible Skills, Drills and Thrills, and Parent Life. And if you don't know what any of these are, that's okay. So our parent magazine and our kids' devotional magazines. And so all that comes out of the area that I get to work with and lead. And I've been there haven't been in that particular role, but I've been at Lifeway in some capacity with preschool or preschool and children for 21 years. So I'm originally from West Texas, and I lived in Tennessee, north of Nashville, for 21 years. So my two boys, they're all grown up now and married, and each of them have two children. So each of the couples have two children. So I have four grandchildren. You'll see their picture. No, you won't see their picture. I didn't put their picture on this one. But anyway, you'll have to come to another one to see their picture. I won't tell you which one it is. No, I got it in my phone if you need to see.
San Angelo, West Texas, or west of?
No, not quite far. Lubbock. Okay. So kind of South Plains.
Okay.
So yes. You must be familiar with that part of Texas.
Yes. Yes.
My mother still lives there in Lubbock. She's 94, almost 94. Oh, wait, she's not 94 yet. Almost 94.
Yeah, don't put her there until she gets there.
I know, she doesn't want me to do that. And my father-in-law's 94. He lives in Rising Star. Do you know Rising Star is?
No, I don't.
Most people who even live in Texas don't know where Rising Star is. All right, so first of all, I want to just start talking about play, and you got a handout if you want to write anything or doodle or nothing. It's fine too. But we're just going to start. Can y'all see that okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I toyed with whether to use a projector or use a TV, and I thought, well, if I use a TV, it gives a little bit more space. So what to play? Why do preschoolers play games? So that's the question for us to answer. So what do y'all think? Why do preschoolers play games? You know, they play games whether they're organized or not.
Well, they're young. That's the first thing they think of. Everything's a play thing.
Right.
It can be organized, but it's still play.
Because they have a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're hardwired to. And they hands on too. A lot of them.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hands on more than sitting.
They learn that way.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that we don't play like we used to when we were preschoolers?
We're told to sit still and be quiet.
Like you're doing right now. Well, so, and really, that is how preschoolers learn.
Well, I can't get up out of the floor anymore, for one. I've had knee surgery, and I get down there with them. I had to scoop my chair up there and sit with them. Yes.
We have, sometimes it's hard to get in and out of the preschool chairs, too.
I know. Yeah. You'd want to sit in and want the back of one to stand up with you.
Yeah. I think that I think God's designed us. I feel like God's designed us to play, we can have theological discussions about work and before the fall and after the fall, but we won't talk about that. So, but I do believe that God's designed us to play because this is the way Jesus grew. Now, we don't know about Jesus' life, early life, right? We know he's born and we know when he was 12 years old. We don't know what kind of play he did. But the Bible, in more than one place, Luke is the one that we usually read, Luke 2:52. Now, this This is, do y'all remember kind of the context of this one? Well, let me just, so Luke 2, of course, starts with the birth of Jesus. And then it goes through the circumcision of Jesus and Simeon and Anna seeing Jesus in the temple. And then they went to Nazareth. And then, I mean, we have in the same chapter that he was born, all of a sudden he's 12. And so that's, he's going to Jerusalem, as they normally do for the Passover every year. Remember, he's 12, he goes with them, and then they leave him in church, right? So they leave him in the temple. They didn't know they left him, so they had to go back and find him. And when they found him, he was with the teachers, and he was, they were astounded at his understanding, his answers. So they came along, and they said, you know, where have you been? You know, your father and I have been anxiously waiting for you, watching for you, looking for you, searching for you, Mary says. And Jesus says, well, why were you searching for me? Which I think is a great preteen answer. Of course, really in those days, in that culture, he was almost a man because he was 12. And he said, didn't you know it's necessary for me to be in my father's house? And they didn't quite understand. They still didn't quite understand. I imagine it is hard when you're raising a child to know that he's God's son. I mean, he's, you know.
She hadn't had any experience. Nobody had.
No. And then he went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And then verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. So where am I headed with this? Because just like Jesus grew, preschoolers grow. He grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually and he grew mentally. And he grew in stature. He grew physically. Preschoolers are growing physically. And he grew in relationship with God, the Father, which I think is always fascinating because he was God, but the Bible's clear that he grew in relationship with God as a man because he was fully man and fully God. And he grew in relationship with others socially. So you've got, you know, you've got mental, physical, spiritual, and social, social and emotional growth. And that's why we grow today. That's why children grow today. So I do believe that that is why, one of the reasons why we should teach children to play. Because look, with play, you are whether it's organized play or whether it's play that they create, they're growing intellectually. They got to think about it. And they, you know, especially whether it's a game that they're playing or that they have to think about or whether it's something they make up, some kind of role-playing they're doing on their own. And also it helps their physically, their fine motor skills, their gross motor skills. And then when we play at church, hopefully the play contributes to their learning about the Bible, learning about God, learning about Jesus, growing spiritually. And when they play, I want to talk a little bit later about kind of the different kinds of plays. Preschoolers get older, but they are learning to play together, or we hope they're learning to play together. And so all those growth things come in when they play. So I want you to think about, can y'all see that okay?
Yes.
I know I keep asking, but okay. So I want you to think about these questions. What are some favorite things to do as a child? What do you remember about play as a child? What ways did your parents play with you? What do children today enjoy doing that you think is play, and how playful are you now? So we're going to do that with groups of three. You three get to kind of talk about it because I think you're a little less inhibited when you break in small groups, and you three get to talk about it, all right? Okay, and y'all, you may not get to all six questions, five questions, but just talk about some of those questions. At least use that as your guide, all right? And I'll play some music while you do that. So, I'm going to toss the ball to somebody, and so yes, get ready. And I want whatever number, or just look at the number when you catch it. Okay, so I shouldn't tell you this till you catch it, but when you catch it, I want you to see what number your right thumb is closest to.
Okay.
All right, got it. Uh-oh.
Sorry.
That's all right. We'll try that again.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
It's on me. Okay, I'm going to try more dollars. I think it's the way I wrote. Okay, your right thumb, what number is it closest to?
Number two.
All right. Can you
do it? Do you remember about playing as a child?
Did y'all get to that one?
I always remember playing piano and this, learning about the sing a song and the choir. So I have a lot of the play the only music, you know what I mean? Because of my parents really, really like the music. So
okay. All right, good. Okay,
now with my church friend always play the playground at the song.
All right, now can you toss it to one of these friends over here? One of these three. One of these three.
Okay, right here.
No, she's not one of them.
All right.
She wanted one of them.
Four. Right. Four, okay.
Well, we said that children today, they would classify the video games and phones and that kind of thing as play, mm-hmm. even though that's not something that really we probably think of as play, but they do. They think that that's how they're occupying their time, but it's not really.
So when I did play. Solitaire on my iPad on the plane yesterday, I wasn't playing.
Well, you may have been.
No, that's good. We're going to talk about what constitutes play later, so that's good to keep that in mind, what you said.
You couldn't, and chose to do a whole lot more.
And the lady next to me said,
she didn't want you to play soccer.
She says, it's addictive. All right, we throw it to one of those friends over there who hasn't had a turn. All right.
Oh, three.
Yeah, you're the right.
Am I on the right?
Three. What ways did your parents, what ways did your parents play with you, if they did?
I don't remember my folks playing with us much. They told us go outside and play. Mm-hmm. They took us camping and said go play. But my mother did teach me to sew so that I could sew doll clothes for my Barbies when I was fairly young.
Yeah. So do you consider sewing playing?
Because I was sewing clothes for my Barbies, I guess that I would, because it was imaginative and creative at the same time, and that is a type of play.
Do you still sew for Barbies?
I do. I sewed my glasses back together yesterday.
Really?
She makes quilts yesterday.
All right, you'll talk to
Jawanda. The leg kept falling. I'm so sorry. The leg kept falling off, so.
I know, we're not really positioned where it's easy to do.
Well, there's not a six.
No, but you can do number five. And I'll tell you what, since it's number six, you choose which one you want to do.
Yeah.
And you can do one we've already done, because we'll probably both do it today, so.
What were your favorite things to do as a child? Play outside, that's what I was talking about. Play just when we came home from school, changed out our school clothes, outside until dinner time. And I mean, got creative.
And you probably didn't have a whole lot of homework, so you had
no, we didn't have homework like they had today. just playing outside, riding our bikes in the neighborhood, and just hanging out with neighborhood kids. And
okay, good.
I mean,
all right, so there's one person over here that hadn't had it yet. Can you toss it to her?
Okay. Oops.
Pick a number. Clock. Oh, clock. Well, what number is closer to the clock? Yeah,
two.
Maybe for them to
two.
Well, number
like. Okay. What do you remember as a child playing? Well, my grandmother at the age of six taught me to sew. But we lived outside near a lake. And we would had a lot of water and mud. We made mud pies. We'd make our supper. And Mama say, I don't want that, you know, can we have this for supper? This is spaghetti or this is this. Mm-hmm. So I made mud pies. We were up under a tree and we made our own little stove. We made our little refrigerator. Uh-huh. We never had anything bought like nowadays. Oh my goodness, that might be our fault, the grandparents. our grandkids, but we just played, we mostly outdoor play and made mud pies. That's what I remember the most.
That's creative, yeah.
Yes, we got very
imaginative.
You ready?
But I want to know, did you eat any of your
food? I did not. Well, my sister did. My sister did. She got sick, and my mama said, you don't need to eat that. And later on, we were doing something, and we used, and now it's a thing in a book to do, pudding, mm-hmm. chocolate pudding, and we used crumbled up Oreos or something then. And my sister said she thought she was eating that, but I really think she knew she wasn't. She was eating the dirt. And Mama said, well, you can't do that. You know, we got in a lot of trouble.
You put her up to it, didn't you?
I probably did. I cut her hair. I cut her hair on one side, and my mama caught me before I got to the other side. She said, I never want to catch you with another pair of scissors. And that's what I ended up being with hairstyles.
Really?
I was doing good. She should have let me finish the other side. She should have let me finish, but she said, don't you do that no more, you know? But we just did everything on our own, you know?
All right, so where did your
I think mine landed on four. Okay. What the children do was play a day. I don't know. We talked about the same thing about the games, the video games. That's all my kids want to do. I force them to go outside.
Yeah. Well, it's too hot right now.
I still force my kids.
I've got a spot with it.
Here's some water, go outside.
No, they can go get in the pool. Yeah. But they have to go outside, though.
My parents didn't have an AC until after I was grown and married.
Me
and after we got out of the house, they got AC.
They could afford it. Yes, of
they
course.
Could afford it. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's okay. The same way it was with my wife's parents when they lived in the country. After everybody left the house, then they got there. Actually, what happened was when her dad retired, they lived on a farm, but he also drove a truck. When he retired, then they got air conditioning.
Because he was there.
Yeah.
We didn't even have him in school, though.
Oh, yeah.
We went to school in September. Mm-hmm. We didn't need air conditioning.
Yeah, we didn't have it.
The windows opened in my classroom. Mm-hmm.
So, nobody answered. Oh. How playful are we now?
Fairly playful.
I'm very playful. I keep a 3-year-old. I'm very playful. He's got my whole house for him. Somebody said, do you still have a daycare? I said, no, this is for Bryce.
Yes.
I'm very playful with him. That's
all we ever grandchild.
Grandchild.
Now, my grandchildren are both in school now, but I kept each of those two boys singularly by the time the first one was in kindergarten, then the second was on the scene. But I had the same question asked by people who would come into my house. Do you have a daycare?
No, it was just... And her grandchildren were the age of mine at the same time. So when she kept hers, I kept mine. So we'd go to...
Yeah, they're best friends.
We would go to Burger King and study our Sunday school lesson and let them play.
On the playground.
On the playground.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. I think it's important that that we try to be more playful. You teach preschoolers, so I'm sure you're playful when you're teaching preschoolers. It's important to be a part of their play. Some of the stuff that we're going to do today is some games we're going to do games that are like structure games. But, you know, preschoolers, you do those kind of games, but you also do just imaginative play and role playing and stuff like that, or in our blocks and build the blocks and make up stuff and, you know, get on the floor with them if you can, if not, as close to the floor as you can get, and I understand that. But we're going to play a game, a beanbag numbered game. So what I'd like for you to do, if you don't mind, just kind of make a circle around, well, it's not a circle, make a rectangle around the mat. Okay, but you need to give yourself some space because we're going to do some things. And maybe somebody over here. Y'all just like preschoolers. You all get the same play. And then as far as somebody's out standing in the middle of the mat. So okay, so I'll go first. And let's say it landed on 11 because that's kind of where we went. So let's see. This is what we'll do. We'll take this out. And this says jump with both feet in place 11 times. Okay. So if you are physically able to do that, we're going to do the game. Ready? Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I can't do it.
No,
this is in place.
9, 10, 11. Okay.
for you. I can.
Christy, I'll let you be next. Toss it on anyone you want to.
I just had an injection in my knee Monday.
Talk on the inside. I don't come back.
Okay, 13. It landed right there. Let's see what 13 is.
Still wait, the Bible verses.
Walk around the mat and count to 13. So which direction are we going to walk?
No,
which
way?
Okay.
I tell our kids this way.
Okay, so we're just counting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Good.
All right.
Wait a minute, whose turn is it? Did you go?
Yeah.
You did. You haven't gone. Yeah, we didn't get out of order, did we?
We somehow we did. Well, I was thinking
you did first, and then she did it. So that's the way we start is good.
Seven.
All right, let's see. Seven is stand on one foot and count seven.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
I count real fast.
I couldn't do that. My knee was hurting me. I can do it now. That's one of my therapy things. Thank you.
All right, that's a, what is that?
Nine.
Do nine leg lifts. What's a leg lift?
One, two.
Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
I think that's good.
That's what they said.
Okay. Oh, I
didn't
want to go there.
You did that on purpose, didn't you?
I closed my eyes this time.
Okay,
I'm not closing my eyes this time.
There we go. Okay, three. All right. Snap fingers three times.
Okay.
Y'all know I can't snap my fingers. I
never got into it.
So I learned how to deceive people when I was in first grade because I couldn't snap them. So when they did them as a class, I just... Okay, just, let's see. I've already done it, haven't I? Have you done it?
No, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Eight. Nobody wants the big numbers. And I know why you don't want the big numbers because you want to do something 20 times. Do eight jumping jacks.
To church?
Ready?
I wish we had.
Jumping jacks.
Four, five, six, seven, eight.
Good job. All right, before we continue, I want you all to sit down around. I'm going to treat you like children right now.
I can't get down.
Sit down. Oh, that's right.
Pull up a chair.
Pull up a chair.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Okay. Between my leg and my arm and my back.
So I want to tell you all a Bible story. And this is in Matthew. Matthew is in the New Testament. Can y'all remind me what happens in the New Testament?
Jesus is born.
Okay. So, what's the first part of the Bible called? So,
the Old Testament.
That's right. So
before Jesus was born.
Before Jesus was born.
Delineated.
That's right.
Each week we talk about what the book is and where it came from and the fact that the old is before Jesus and the new is after Jesus.
So, Matthew is the first book. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Okay, so in our story today, Jesus and his disciples were walking along the road to Jerusalem. And when Jesus and the disciples came near a town called Bethphage. Can y'all say, wait a minute, I didn't say that right, kids. Bethphage. Can y'all say Bethphage?
Bethphage.
Jesus said to two of his disciples, go into town and you'll find a colt or a young donkey and its mother there. Bring them to me. So the disciples went and they found two donkeys and they brought them to Jesus. And the disciples put their coat on the young donkey and made a soft place for Jesus to sit. And Jesus climbed up on the donkey and he rode to Jerusalem on the donkey. And along the way there were people waiting to see Jesus, and they put their coats on the ground. And they spread palm branches, tree branches on the road. As Jesus passed by, the people praised him. They shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Can y'all say that with me?
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Hosanna. That's right. And when Jesus entered the city, everyone was talking about him. People asked, who is this man? The crowds answered, this is Jesus. And when Jesus came to the temple, he walked inside. And while Jesus was in the temple, he healed people who were blind and people who could not walk. And children were in the temple too, just like you. And they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. Can y'all shout Hosanna?
Hosanna? Hosanna, Hosanna.
Jesus listened to the sound of their happy voices. Now some men in the temple were upset when they saw the things Jesus did and heard the children shouting, Hosanna. Jesus, they asked, do you hear those children? And Jesus says, yes. Haven't you read what the Bible says, what the scripture says? God planned for children to praise him. Jesus knew the children were doing what God wanted them to do. So as we play the game again, we might find something to do that's from our story. So let's see. All right, let's stand up again. All right, now, where did we stop? You did it last, didn't you? Okay, so okay. We'll start with... Okay, 14. Step on the numbers from 14 to 1. We're just going to... Oh, I took some numbers out, didn't I? We're just going to let you do that, okay? Step on the numbers from 14 to 1. It's funny, we as adults don't like walking on the mat, but you're on the good job, and it would have worked better if I had to take all the numbers out.
Kids don't mind, they don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kids don't want to take them.
You did catch it. All right, which one?
15.
Okay. Say, people welcome Jesus 15 times.
People welcome Jesus.
Now, was that in our story today?
Yes.
What was happening in our story when they welcomed him?
When they were
riding the donkey. What else did the people do when they welcomed him?
They shouted, Hosanna!
They did! That's right. Very good. All right, is it your turn, Brenda?
I think so.
Okay. All right, 10. Circle arms 10 times.
Oops,
I was going to get a workout today.
So in our story today, they could have waved to Jesus. They could have waved their palm branches. They could have waved their, when they were shouting Hosanna. That's right. Is it your turn, Sherry?
Yes.
Shake four people's hands.
Yes.
Okay. 19. Oh boy, I hope it's not a hard one.
We've already done jumping jacks.
Clap 19 times. Did we miss
I got
it?
Somebody did 20.
Uh-oh. You're counting.
Okay, so I'm going to finish us up with this one right here. Okay. And I know y'all are fussy. I want to do it again. Say, children praise Jesus. Matthew 21:15.
Children praise Jesus. Matthew 21:15.
And that's where our story was from today. Good job. All right, now. I'd like you to stay standing up. Okay, now I'm going to quit treating you like kids. But, okay, so just kind of spread out. We got one more game. Now, actually, yeah, let's do this one real quick. And I got one more game after this. Okay, I told you we'd play some games. All right, so I'm just going to toss it. So let's just let it land on the floor, okay? Mm-hmm. And now I'm treating you like children. Just let it land on the floor.
Have to explain the game.
Yeah. Alright, so it says tell someone your name. So everybody can do this. Tell somebody your name.
I'm Niecy. My name is
Monica. My daughter's name is Monica.
My name is Brenda.
My name is
Brenda.
You don't know
that.
My name is Brenda.
Yes, you're
Monica.
Your turn. Okay, Anne's going to toss it. Anne's going to toss it and see what lands on top.
I'm sorry.
It's alright. What was that?
Stretch up higher.
Good job. Okay, Sharon, your turn.
It bounces,
doesn't
it?
That's
make a funny face. Make a funny face.
Everybody
get a funny face.
They're good at that.
Is this the same cube that was in Vacation Bible School supplies that it recommended?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so where can you order that?
From Lifeway.com.
It was in our curriculum.
They probably had another one.
2 weeks ago, it said to do this with some printouts that...
Pat your head.
Oh, we just put ours on boxes because I didn't know about the
cubes.
I said, well, I'll put them on that list. So I had a... dice printable that you fold up.
Tell someone your name. Tell somebody else your name.
I'm Brenda.
Yeah, this mat also is a lightweight thing. Actually, this is a real old one, but that they now belong.
Will they take our order over there?
I don't know.
And the guys over there in the
you can ask.
Vending department.
Turn around.
Yeah, we used to go there. Now we can't. We have to.
We can't do that.
I mean, we can order it, but we just
need
to look at what you have so we can order it.
Turn around. All right, good. Now, one thing that if you had two cubes, which we don't have two cubes because I have a suitcase and had to fly, but if I brought two, besides that, you got a walnut.
Can they sit them?
No.
Okay. You got to be sure that they don't sit on.
And they do spring a leak.
Okay. I'm just gonna make sure that
we don't kick them.
My wife's preschool minister our church, and we have one that she's got one that has to be blown up every now and then. But if you had two cubes. You could put this in one cube, and one child could toss this, like six, and then somebody tossed this, and they can turn around, then you turn around
six times.
And you see it's got dots, so preschoolers count the numbers.
Well, another thing I bet you could do is a beach ball.
I do.
Because it's already got colors on it. So and you can just take something on it. And you can tie something on it.
Yeah, but you end up with a flat side up.
Yeah.
And you can do the same thing, but like with beach ball, you can do something like this.
I just ride on them.
We need to line up in two lines, three people. So you're one team, you're one team. But I need y'all to line up. Let's do this. Brenda, if you'll come right here and stand right here, then your team, if y'all line up behind Brenda. Okay, and then.
This way?
No, I'm sorry, Brenda, you turn that way, and they're going to line up behind you. And
Is it Nisi? Yes.
You'll be first in line. I know everybody wants to be first in line. And then turn around. Be with Brenda. Match up with this.
Yeah, but we hear that all the time.
Y'all are
no,
like
you're not the line leader.
Y'all are like preschoolers. But, okay, we're going to.
Oh, gosh, I work with them, too, at school sometimes.
You know, the children shouted Hosanna, that was one way they showed Jesus that they loved him. What do we use? What shape do we use to talk about love sometimes?
A heart.
All right. Well, this is a half of a heart. Oops. I'm going to give you the other half. I'm going to give each half into a half.
Lots of hearts.
They like to match.
Okay. So, I'm going to give each team. How many have we got?
12.
Six hearts, half. Okay, well, actually, let me change how I'm going to do it. Well, yeah. Brenda.
I've got to find my other half.
Oh, I need to give. Hey, this is going to work out perfect. Everybody gets two. All right. So this is one of those games that was in curriculum one time, and I just kept them. Okay, so what we're going to do is when I say go, first Brenda, you're going to go up there and try to match your two, and Nisi, you're going to try to match your two. Now,
they can't come to
y'all can't come until your leader comes back and touches you.
Okay.
All right, ready? On your mark, get set, go.
You're going to make it easy for us.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, she touched you, didn't you? Okay, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I interfered.
That ain't fair.
What?
That's what our kids would say. No, we said he interfered. The kids would say. That ain't fair. That's what the kids would say.
The gold ones. Because it said to do, what's the name of her?
Do what?
Oh, we were supposed to put them down.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, keep it turned over.
Put mine down.
Oh, I brought mine back. Well,
you gotta go touch.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's okay.
We're all winners. This is like upward. Everybody's a winner.
They did it. They made it very easy for me. That's right.
I didn't know that.
Good job. Now, how many of you knew to match the colors?
I did.
Okay, how many of you knew to match dots? So you knew they were on the right side.
I wanted you to say the dot.
The dots, you said this one, I forgot to turn that way. The dots help you know that it's on the right side.
You started seeing them after you put them down several times.
So good job. All right, y'all can have a seat.
Oh, yeah. Duh, okay. That's all. I just did what I could see that.
So, any game like this, matching game?
Now, why did you tell us to match the dots?
Because I forgot.
Because we figured that out.
Well, see, and I forgot to put them all down where you did see the dots.
So oh, goodness.
All right. Good job. Okay. Let's, going to give you a break from play, but on your handout you've got an acrostic there at the top right hand side of ELAY. So what I'd like for you to do is, and this is individual, well, you can do this as a group or by yourself. Some of you like to work by yourselves, you can do that, but come up with words or phrases that describe what preschoolers do while they're involved in Bible learning activities. Things they do while they're involved in Bible learning activities, whether it's a game or whether it's a craft or blocks or nature activity. So if you'll do that, do you need something to write with?
No, sir.
Okay. Oh, you just didn't want to do it?
No, I'm sorry.
If you don't want to
write, I will. I was just thinking.
You're a terrible student.
I'm a terrible teacher. I should not have pointed that out. I'm sorry.
I was just going to think of them in my mind, but I'll be happy to write
them. No, you can just think of them in your mind all you want to. I'm sorry. Words or phrases that describe what preschoolers do while they're playing or while they're involved in learning activities, while they're doing a learning activity, which I believe that any activity can become a Bible learning activity if we incorporate Bible conversation and Bible verses, music. So, you may think, well, how does this relate to the Bible story? Well, it may not relate directly, because sometimes it's hard to get every activity relate directly, but it becomes Bible learning when you talk about the Bible with children while they're engaged, while they're doing stuff. And again, I'm sorry I said what I did.
We have a understanding with our teachers and volunteers. Because we take pictures with our phones to put together on our Facebook page, because we have a Facebook page to show the parents what the kids were doing that day. And nobody has time to look at all the pictures when they come pick up the kids and go to lunch, so we put it on later. We have an understanding that we can take pictures of the kids, but we don't take pictures of each other, because we're going to be silly old women. We're going to play like little kids, but we don't want anybody to see our face that are distorted, or our bellies, when we bend over, our behinds when we're bent over at awkward angles. So we always make sure to tell the other, I'm taking pictures. And the kids, of course, they just love it if you take a picture. Take my picture.
Cheese, they come in some cheese.
All right, y'all get all four letters? Mm-hmm. All right, so somebody want to tell me what they came up with for P?
Pictures.
Pretend, play.
Okay, I just have to tell you this because we're Laurie laughing anyway. So Lifeway moved into a new headquarters about a year, almost 2 years ago. And the freight elevator, it's really not a freight elevator, but kind of a service elevator, so it's out of the way. And it talks to you. Have y'all been on elevators that tell you first floor, annoying voice? Well, there's a floor that's called, so it's just like, first floor. But there's a floor that's P. And so all the kids and preschool people get this, but when you get there, it says P floor.
It just
cracks me up every time. I only tell you that because you deal with it all the time. Okay, so any of those are good. These aren't right or wrong answers. These are just things I've thought of. Pondering Bible content. That goes back to me. Any of these games can become Bible learning games. So this game that we were playing a while ago, it only had like one Bible verse and I think there was one in there with Shout Hosanna, but we made it a Bible learning day. Bangle, bring the Bible story. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Mouth again.
There it is.
All right. Yeah, L, what you doing with L?
Learn.
That.
Love.
That.
Love. Look. Listen.
All right, good. And I think it's important for us, again, you already said this, we need to laugh. They need to be able to laugh with the teachers and laugh with their friends. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll even kind of invite them to laugh with me. Never laugh at them, but laugh with me. Right. Sometimes they laugh at me, but that's okay.
That's okay.
As long as it's me. Okay, A.
Ask.
Ask.
Artwork.
Active.
And your laugh was argue.
That too.
I didn't argue.
Yes. Oh, there were some that got argued down. Yes. Yeah. Answer questions too, as you ask and they answer. All right, we got one more.
I put yard play.
I put Gail. Gail. Shriek. Yeah.
Well, I like the Gail one, and I like all those that you said. Mine's kind of boring. Yield to learning. Mine is kind of uneducational there. So somebody said something.
I had to do something with mine.
When we first began, and about that's how we're talking about preschoolers and playing, we just thought that's what they do. That's their job. And Fred Rogers actually said that play is the real work of childhood. And so play is serious for them. It's important. I mean, they have fun, and we want them to have fun, but it's what it is. It's a real work. Yes.
Have you guys seen that new commercial on TV with the kid at the doctor's office and the doctor writes a prescription?
Mm-hmm.
Play.
And oh, really? Oh, I've seen that. No, I haven't seen that.
I saw that.
Well,
I
didn't
think about that. I was like,
that's
kid
key.
Needs to play.
Because
all right.
Are,
mm-hmm. So this, I think, way before we start playing games, I talked about that. We would talk about what constitutes play. So there's a book that I read a few years ago called Einstein Never Used Flashcards. And a lot of it's about how children learn, develop, and we, you know, some parents today are so concerned that they don't realize that their children can learn through play. They think they have to do, you know, always do rote learning or with young children. And you do. You do want to do different things for them to learn. But you also want to allow them to learn through play. And so they're saying these are elements of play. And so I'm going to kind of talk about these kind of quickly. One is it pleasurable. In other words, it's not play if they don't enjoy doing it. Now, sometimes children are going to just say they don't want to do it just because they're trying to exercise their independence and assert their independence. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's better just to ignore them and go on. And then sometimes they say, they are having fun. Mm-hmm. And then they think, I wanted a turn. Sorry. you missed out. But for it to be play, it needs to be pleasurable. So I think this goes for us, too. So it needs to be something they enjoy. And now this one, I kind of violate this one a little bit, but for a child, they don't come to play with any. They don't come to play because they think, I'm going to learn a Bible truth today when I play this game, or I'm going to when I play the blocks, I'm going to learn spatial skills. You know, they don't come to that think of that. But you and I do know that, and when it comes to Bible teaching, that we do have a goal through our games for them to, in our play, for them to learn, learn the Bible content. But as far as children are concerned, it's really non-utilitarian. It's not, they don't come to it with those extrinsic goals. You and I have those goals. And so, however you say the last name of these two researchers might not agree with me, but that's okay because I don't know who they are. I can't change. But I think for a child, for it to be play, it has to be, it's play, spontaneous, which goes into spontaneous and voluntary. Sometimes they join in on the play because they want to. Sometimes it's spontaneous, and especially when you look at kind of play where they're role playing or they're, you know, dress up or playing doctor or blocks, something like that. That's not a game with rules. They want to do this, and but also the is active engagement. They have, so that's why sometimes And I don't want to pick on, electronics too much, because sometimes you can use them actively, but sometimes they can become passive. So, and if a child is just sitting there, or a child's just standing there, and they're not actively engaged, they're not playing. They're watching other people, or they're, you know, they're being passive. So, real play means you have to be active, not passive, active engagement. And that's why we need to just, some children don't want to do it either for attention or for power play or exercise independence, or maybe they're just kind of afraid they won't do a good job, even preschoolers. So we have to just try to make play fun, enjoyable, pleasurable things that they would enjoy doing. And then the last one is make-believe. Well, there's an element of make-believe. And, that's where sometimes you and I need to allow them to make-believe who we are, our role, you know. Sometimes it's hard, then I want you to be a daddy or me be a mama, you know, those kind of things. But you just role-play and make-believe. All these elements of play I saw one time, few years ago with young preschoolers, and I love telling the story because the young man that I'm about to tell on is now this big guy who is I think he's a senior in college, and I love telling this in front of his friends. But when he was like two, three, he and this a little girl liked to play at Sunday school. They always want to play animals, and they were always dogs. I think he was the dog and she was the people, you know. And it got to where he would be at church first, and when she came in the room, he got down on all fours all the time, and it was a dog. And I got tired of that every week, you know. But, I mean, it was pleasurable. There wasn't any extrinsic goals for them. It was spontaneous, very spontaneous and voluntary. And they were both actively engaged, and they were make-believe. So, I can't remember exactly how I said it, but I think one Sunday I just said, well, why don't y'all play something else? And so then they went to a pet store. I don't, you know, it's just... The funny thing is, the little boy, his family never had a dog. His mother is deadly afraid, is afraid of dogs, but he was a dog every week. One time we went to make a home visit to another home, another little boy, and he made believe that he was lifting up his leg like a dog, and what dogs do. Imitating life. These researchers go on to say that play needs to stem from a child's desire. Okay, so we can provide a limited set of choices. That's what we do every week. We provide them some choices of things to do. But in order for it to be pleasurable and voluntary and all those things, we need to give them some choices. Now, there are some times where we're all going to play this game, or we're all going to do this, and if they don't do it, you know, then fine. But then there are other play where they have choices. Maybe they don't want to do the art activity. But we give them choices, and that's part of play. Because if we force them all the time to do stuff, then it ceases to be play. And the other thing is that our job is to facilitate the play. Provide the resources, provide the props, provide the craft materials, provide the puzzle stuff, provide the game stuff, and then help them play. But also let them come up with some of the rules and things. Let them come up with how to do it, how to play. You know, you still have parameters, like in block area. You know, I may suggest they do something, build something, but on the other hand, they may decide they want to do something else. And as long as it's not something that, like a gun, something that can, you know,
they throw it violate, at the closest person, yes.
Yeah. Then we have our guidelines, and, you know, I had a little boy that we would, he'd come in, and there was a block, it was a four-unit block, I believe, wooden block. It was like a long, skinny triangle, and he always wanted to be a gun. And we said, you know, we don't play with things that can hurt people at church. And so he said, okay, it's a drill. And that guy had the best, as a four-year-old, had the best little drill sound he ever heard. So he'd come in and he had to stop himself some Sundays, and then, oh yeah, it's a drill. And then it was his drill. But that, again, was make-believe. I gave him parameters, but he was able to then take it, because I didn't say it could be a drill. Okay, so here's some things that we can do to encourage and facilitate is to offer a safe environment. So again, you do have to have rules, yeah, like when they want to throw the blocks. And then give them some open-ended things to play with or to do. You know, if it's something to dress up with, community helper stuff, a doctor's kit, baby dolls, blocks, even art that they can, art supplies that they can choose and do it like they want to do it. It doesn't have to, everybody's art activity doesn't have to look the same. And this really goes, I think, for parents, but we can help all this too, is avoid over-scheduling and over-structuring everything. You know, give them some room to be able to move from activity to activity and to be able to not over-structure it. But like for parents, we need to encourage them, you know, team sports are fine, it's fine to do stuff, but also their child needs some unscheduled, unstructured time. Now these are the types of play at church. There's three basic types of play: individual play, parallel play, and group play. So the younger a child is, the more they're going to do individual play. A parallel play, you might see two-year-olds or maybe 2-3-year-olds, and you think that they're playing together. They're really not. They're just sitting in the same area.
Right.
But they're really not interacting. They're play. They're not interacting. Their play's not interacting. And then there's group play where they, you know, the bossy one tells everybody else what to do, and they do it. But group play is when they do come up with stories and make believe things together. They're playing with dishes together. They're pretending they're eating a meal together. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the learning center. And then games where you got two or three doing a game, or where everybody in your class is doing a game. So you've got the group play can be and a learning center approach, or just an activity, a learning activity, or it could be a game that two or three people, or you and one child can play a game. Mm-hmm. And then large group game is when, okay, we're all going to play this. So what we did earlier, those were all large group games. And by large group, I don't mean you have to have a bunch of kids. If you have two children in your room, and that's all the children you have, then that's your large group. So it doesn't matter. It's not how many, it's more it's if everybody's doing it. Yes.
Your graphic with the girl with the horn. Mm-hmm. I think that's a girl with a horn.
I think it's a telescope, but
okay.
It's hard to see from here.
It's like she's blowing a horn. Anyway, I wanted to share one little thing.
Alright. And then we're going to do
we discovered that instead of horns, if you give them bubbles, it's so much more quieter.
Everybody just as much blood.
There you go. All right. Okay, we're going to do a music game, and so everybody needs a streamer, so if you don't have a streamer, grab one off of a chair. And if you stand up, they don't think in your hand a streamer. In fact, you know, it's okay if you want to have two streamers. Anybody want to have two? We've got plenty. So why don't you grab a different color?
We have pairs. Pairs of ribbons.
Yeah.
Pairs of ribbons.
All right, so you'll need one in each hand. And we're gonna y'all know the song Colors? Okay, I'm hoping that we still have the sound going here. Since I've had the speaker off for a few minutes, it may take a minute, so.
I'm sleepy. Is it time for a nap?
Oh, hold on a minute. Okay, wait, just a second. I messed up.
I couldn't go to sleep.
I had two songs going on at the same time.
So I don't regret it.
That's why we don't take pictures of each other.
Yeah. Well, she does. You do the picture taking. I get in the.
All right. Now maybe I've got
sometime.
It.
Would like to do pictures.
Mr. Ricky, you could join us. We got some.
Okay, everybody. Listen up. It's time for the color song, where we get to sing about all the colors God made for us to enjoy. Are you ready? Tomatoes are
red.
The sky is blue. The sun is
yellow.
And bananas are too. Covered. God gave us all the colors. Oh yeah. The grass is greener, kind of brown in the summer. Cause God loves us. He gave us all the colors. Colors. God gave us all the colors. Okay, this time sing after me. Tomatoes are red.
Tomatoes are red.
The sky is blue.
I can't hear.
Good job. All right. You can return to your seat.
All right.
Thank you. Was that fun? Now, if you want to take these home, give them to Mr. Landry and I'll put them in your tubby. And I hope I can see the right color here, tubby. All right. Here's something that I thought was interesting that I saw a few years ago, it's just several years ago now, in a magazine, but it was not an article, it was from an advertisement for a playground system. It said, play shames inhibition to submission, sends stress packing, dismisses age as the mere number it is, feeds the soul with glee, the world needs to play. Well, it's very sacred. Go back to what we said in Luke 2:52, how God created us. And I believe that God created us in a way that play does these things for us. All right. Now, what I'd like for us to do, we're going to pretend this is our session. It's from Genesis 1:1-19, so it's where God made everything. He made the sun, moon, stars, water. Well, okay, not everything. He didn't make people in this story. Sun, moon, stars, water, land, and plants. So we're not going to do animals today, our people.
Man, I wanted to be a dog.
And our Bible verse is stop and consider God's wonders. And our level of biblical learning, which is what these are to kind of give us what things that you'll need to learn, is God created the world in 6 days and seven. He rested. What you're trying to do is you're trying to drive home that main point, though, is that God made the sun, moon, stars, water, and plants. So I'm going to let you create your own day. All right? So let's do, you don't mind being the same teams. Do you want to be on their team? I think you know two of these ladies.
I do.
So,
these are fearless leaders.
Okay, so here's the thing. Is you can use a giant game format. You can use... So I have two of them. So if you both want to use one, that's fine. You can use the cube. So it's first come, first serve. Say it's served. First, whatever.
First come, first serve?
Yes.
She's on mute.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even say go. Okay. There's some paper right there where you can make your own stuff.
Sorry, y'all.
For either the cube or the mat, okay?
We got the cube.
You can... So, okay, I want you to come up with a game that you can lead on.
Oh, whoa!
Wow, that was right there.
Just one.
I saw it, right there.
Okay, so, same thing. This is y'all's Bible story.
Okay, so we got to come up. Okay.
But you can use anything else. You can use the twister mat. You can use one of these giant deals. And... remember, any game can become a Bible learning game depending on what you use. So I've got all these different things you can choose from. Okay?
That's
So there's lots of different things you can do. You can make up games. You don't have to have a giant.
Pop and play six times.
You can also, if you don't have one of these mats.
Sometimes we just throw it.
You can use Ziploc bags, get on the Ziploc bags,
oh, yeah.
The floor, or take a shower curtain and take them to the shower curtain. So there's all different kinds of things you can do. Good. All right. Well, let's
like doing laminated pages and just putting them down. Because once you've laminated it, you can use it the next time around. Or you can share it with the first grade class, mm-hmm. and when they do it, you know, they got have it and borrow it. Mm-hmm. We share.
We're nice and small, keep it.
Friendly. Right.
And we got right. Well, go back our file.
Oh yes. We don't throw anything. So just as we close, and we'll close right where we are. But why play at church? What's important? It has value, it has variety, it appeals to children, and most importantly, it enables us to teach them in ways they learn best. So why don't we close with prayer, and then I believe it's time to go. What's next? I don't remember what's next.
We go to look around.
We stay in our same room. We come back here again.
So I think between now and then we have big church and
we have a break. Our next class here. I think this is our room.
Unless you want to go to a different room.
Well, we checked everything. I think this was one. But this is not the same thing.
4:30 is a different. It's a five. It's a five. Church.
Enjoy it. But we checked up. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's close with prayer, everybody. Dear God, thank you for the play. Thank you that you created us to play. To learn that way, help us to engage preschoolers in Bible learning with your play. In Jesus' name. Thank you all.
Thank you. That was very nice. Thanks, everybody.